Of first off, let's kill all the lawyers. I'm David Heffernan, and I'm a practicing lawyer in South Florida for about the last 30 years or so. And we've put this together, one, just because it's one of my favorite Shakespeare quotes and often gets misconstrued going back to the 1500s. But the one thing about that line is it got a lot of laughs when it was uttered back in the 1500s. And even today, people kind of go, it's not a bad idea to get rid of some of those lawyers. So goal here. Bring other lawyers in, bring other people that work with lawyers in, kind of talk about the business end of things and personalize some of it, and maybe one by one take a few lawyers off the kill list. But I made it easy this morning because I didn't bring a lawyer in. I'm very privileged only because I've known this guy as a very, very close personal friend for the vast majority of my life, but also been an integral part of my law practice as I'd like to introduce Dave Wasser of the Wasser Agency, one of, I think, one of the top private investigators, not only in town. I mean, nationally, you've done a lot and everything else. But I've had a lot of fun getting to know you over the years. But more importantly, in the practice of things, you know, really working hand in hand with you on a lot of cases. So first off, welcome.
Well, thank you. Nice introduction.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, the thing is, and I was thinking about this as we came over, I actually go back with you so far that this was before I was in law school, and I was actually working for you when I made the decision to go to law school.
Undercover.
And I was doing some undercover work for some paper company. I was up in Singer Island, and you hired me, and I rented a car, and we got the routes of these paper trucks, and they would periodically follow these guys to find out who was, you know, going home during lunch hours or who wasn't dropping things off here. And, literally running on the beach one night. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. You know, I bounced around the NFL for a little bit, and that's when I came to the decision to go to law school. So, yeah, you making me do grunt work like that forced me to go to law school and get a real job.
Was I that bad?
No, it was all good. But let's talk a little bit. Okay, you started out years ago in the public defender's office. So how does that evolve from what you did in the public defender's office? What makes you go out and become a private investigator?
Well, money was a big motivation. I worked for the state. I actually learned so much at the public defender's office, worked with tremendous attorneys, guys that taught me a lot about how to do my job. And as time went on, I realized there was a bigger fish out there to deal with. And more challenges, and I wanted to start my own business, and it ended up an evolution. It took a lot of risk. I think a lot of lawyers, young lawyers, go through that when they decide to go out on their own, and I had that same risk, and I was very fortunate that things worked out. Growing up here in Miami, I knew a lot of people, and so it was a natural fit, and here I am today, and I'm almost ready to retire. I have my son, who's my partner now, Travis Wasser, and technology has changed, so he has really boosted up our agency through the technology side, and he's learned a lot, and he's out there going full time.
Good stuff. So let's talk about what does it mean to be a private investigator. Okay, I mean, because I think the scope of services you offer is going to shock some people as to just how broad that goes. I mean, you know, you can think of the easy things. Oh, okay, you know, we go out and it's a divorce case and we do surveillance and, you know, we get some videos that, you know, going to make people uncomfortable and resolve issues. But talk a little bit about the whole practice.
Well, we really are a service industry that helps attorneys in their cases, and we have multifunctions. You know, we work for all kinds of attorneys, from divorce and marital situations, civil attorneys, which is plaintiff and defense, and criminal attorneys. So our function is to assist the attorneys in their cases and try to help them bring the case forward so that they can be prepared when they go to trial.
Well, and I know because I personally, we bring you in on a case and it's just a tremendous asset. You become part of our litigation team and, you know, insurance companies, they often have their in-house people, you know, they've got that ability to get these things done. But for a small firm like Mark and I, to be able to bring somebody like you on a case and say, okay, from the onset, you know, hey, this just happened, this accident occurred, or this incident occurred somewhere. And immediately we've sort of got eyes and ears on the ground. You know, we're able to get somebody like you and other investigators that work for you out there to kind of develop what was going on in the scene and who the potential witnesses are and develop all of that. So how do you see your role when lawyers bring you in early in a case?
Well, as time has changed in recent time, now it's important for us to get out there as soon as possible after an incident occurs. Sometimes people look at it as like almost ambulance chasing, but it's not ambulance chasing. Once we're hired by the attorney, it's important for us to get out there and talk to witnesses while it's fresh. And we have a system where we go to our databases and our investigative research, and we find these people. And before they get lost, people move away. Miami's got a lot of transient people that come and go. And so it's important to talk to these witnesses, because a lot of times the police, they don't concern themselves with keeping people around at scenes. And so a lot of those people get lost. So we have to get out there quick and do our job. And that certainly helps the cases move forward.
It's also a situation, I think, now having somebody get out to an area, there's so much video cameras on businesses and everything else to be able, again, a lot of those businesses, it's great, they've got surveillance. Well, now, nowadays, I mean, Ring cameras, I mean, there's more stuff being caught on Ring cameras of what's going on in the street. But, you know, those businesses have systems and they rewrite and everything else. So if you don't get somebody out there quickly, you may lose that opportunity, and that can be a game changer in a case.
Well, it's extremely important. That's one of the first things we do when we go and canvass an area. When I say canvass, I mean we go knock on doors in a radius around where the incident occurred, and we're looking everywhere for cameras. And it's amazing how many cases we've solved through cameras. And a lot of times, again, the police miss it because they're not so interested in cameras for a lot of reasons. We need those cameras because every camera could pick up something different that may be helpful in our case.
Yeah, it's critical. And the services go beyond that. And I'm going to ask you to share a story just because it's my favorite story, because I think it shows a couple things. Shows the creativity of a guy like you. But even as things simple as service of process sometimes, you know, lawyers have to get somebody served with papers, and sometimes people are trying to avoid that. So they may hire a private investigator. So tell us about maybe one of your more interesting service of process cases.
Well, there was a case that went back a few years. A very wealthy developer on Miami Beach lived on a private island, and we were trying to serve him because his father-in-law wanted him served papers. He was trying to collect on some money that was owed. And I had tried to go in the front door, but they had a gate there and bodyguards. And so that wasn't working out real well. So I put one of my guys, I told the client, I said, hey, listen, he's out of the country right now. I've got an informant that's told me that. He said, I don't care. I want you to be out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week till we get him. I said, okay, that's good with me.
Clock's running, you know.
So I put one of my guys out on the causeway, and all of a sudden I get a call from him one day, and he goes, he's here. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I'm looking through my binoculars, and I see him, and he's with several women, and they're nude sunbathing behind his beautiful mansion on this island. And I said, I'll be right there. So I go to
just observe the sunbathing, or were you actually planning on working?
It's one of my better cases.
Okay.
So I get on, go over to Club Nautico. I rent a boat from Miami Beach Marina with a captain, and we pull up to the man's residence from the water. And the plan was to fake engine trouble and row up to his dock and ask to use his phone. So that worked like a dream. The guy came down. He actually put a towel around himself as he approached us, and he said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, we have some engine trouble." And I said, can I use your phone to call for help?" And as we were getting close to him, I reach out and I pull the summons out of my back pocket and I hand it to him, and he goes, "What's this?" And I go, "Well, you've been served this summons." And he said, "Can I have your card?" He said, "Why didn't you come in the front gate?" I go, "Not so easy."
Yeah. Why didn't he come in? He knows exactly why he didn't come in the front gate. But again, the creativity and sort of persistence on getting something done. I mean, you know, if you can't get it done one way, try another way.
Well, you try to, you know, most of the time, and this has been the way I work, I try to do it the easy way, just go out and talk to people straight up and do our job, you know, the way most people do it. But then if they're, you know, deceptive, then we got to play our games too. And sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. We just do the best we can.
Well, one of the things, and I think it really goes a lot to the success you've had over the years, but I've watched it firsthand, is, again, I think your ability to communicate with people, to get people to be candid with you, you know, in just in a non-threatening, you know, kind of likable way. But you know, I've read lots of statements you've taken on behalf of my clients and everything else. And you can see, you know, it's a nervous situation. You're asking somebody, "Hey, can I take a recorded statement?" But you've got an art about you that puts people at ease. I mean, is you credit that what to just years of experience, or?
You know, people are very reluctant to talk because they're abused by our system, unfortunately. And it's hard to get witnesses to come forward and talk, knowing that they may have to sit down in court and wait and never get called, or get called numerous times and never get called, or then get abused from another attorney. So we just try our best to be straight with them. And because once you lie to them and mislead them, they're gone. That's right. It's over. And so we try to treat them as best as we can. And guys like you that are attorneys that also help the situation out by speaking to them after we get hold of them and making them feel like important and they have value to the case. It's all good. And we just try to do that. And I try to do it the best I can. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Right. Oh yeah. No. You get somebody want nothing to do with you, but I think that is important. And it's, you know, it's something I do when you talk to people, because again, if you mislead them, "Oh, you just give us a statement, you know, that'll be the end of it." Well, then all of a sudden they get served with a subpoena and they've got to be deposed or they've got to show up in court. Now they're not happy. Okay. At least, you know, I think you got to lay it out, but explain how they can be part of helping this solution. Because normally, you know, the cases that you're dealing with for my firm or other civil firms, you know, oftentimes deal with devastating injuries, okay, and the ability to change some people's lives, but you got to get other people to help.
You know, some people just when it happens to you, you know, and you want help, to somebody to help you, a lot of people don't feel that same way. You know, they don't want to help anybody else. We live in a very selfish town sometimes,
right?
And that's what we struggle with, you know. And I guess you try to make people feel good by letting them know how they're helping and what they mean to this case. And, you know, that's what we prey on. You know, sometimes I'll show a picture of the person who is hurt very badly and try to get some sympathy.
Right.
And that helps sometimes to get them to come forward and talk.
Well, let's talk. And you talked, you know, that your office now transitioning with your son, Travis, a little bit. How has technology changed the game? I mean, you started, you know, back in the day where, you know, you'd be out there and you know, it's all knocking door to door to door, and it's that hard work that does that. So how have things changed?
Well, Dave, now that you brought it up.
Hey, that's Grant. That's Grant's phone.
Hello, Grant Miller, come in. So, yes, this is called the Brick, and it was the first telephone I had. I got it issued to me when I worked at the public defender's office, and weighs about 10 pounds, so it kept me in shape.
Right.
I would do curls. But, yes, technology has changed. I remember when I first went out to go to a house to try to see who lived in a house back in the day. We couldn't run license plates on the scene. We didn't know who was in the house, so we'd have to go back to the office.
Okay.
Go on our computer that we had just gotten and learned how to get a tag and information, go back to the house, and now we knew whose car that was in front of that.
Right. Assuming they were still there.
Right. Nowadays, you have a picture of him. You know what his record is. You know who lives with him. It's so much technology that is helpful to us and helps us identify who we're targeting.
What about other things that are there? Database searches. Okay. I mean, I know oftentimes we'll have a significant automobile accident. There's a limited amount of coverage. You know, we sort of need the peace of mind to know, okay, this person that caused the accident, you know, most people in this town, and Florida is a pretty well, you know, well-known state for debtors, you know, because they're protected. But, you know, so talk about the databases that are available, some things that you may offer to law firms to help on the financial end of things, of looking into things.
Well, there's certainly databases that help us identify assets, you know, real property, boats, you know, if they've filed bankruptcy, because if and have liens, because if you're going after somebody and they have all these things, you want to let your attorney that you're working for know this, because they may not want to take the case.
Right. And that's the harsh reality. I mean, we've got to sit down with a client and say, no, this person was absolutely at fault. Yes, you're absolutely significantly injured, but there's nothing there at the end of the day. I mean, you know, we can get you a piece of paper, you know, and we get a jury to bring that back to you, but nobody's going to be happy at the end of the day with your piece of paper, which we get a percentage of that piece of paper, that never going to be collectible.
That's correct. You know, at one point I was going to start a business going after people, going after debtors. And it's a lot harder than you think. Attorneys are great at suing people and winning cases, but collecting on a debt is very difficult, and it's time consuming. And at the end of the day, sometimes you just don't get there. So we do the best we can to advise them of what they have, what they can get, and then it's up to them how hard they want to push.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. You were involved in some pretty high profile national cases on the criminal end. And I know the one that comes to mind is the murder of the young woman down in Miami a few years back. How do you get involved with something like that?
Well, on that particular case, I think it was like New Year's, and all my investigators were hungover or from New Year's Eve. And I was the one that answered the phone that day.
Okay.
A boyfriend called me to hire me. And he had desperately gone out trying to find his girlfriend who was missing. And, you know, I asked him, how'd you get my name? How'd you find me? And he did through the internet, actually. I guess on Google, he Googled private investigator Miami, and I came up. And so I tried to help him, but I was a little sketchy about him. I wanted to learn more about him to see if he was telling me the truth, because I didn't know him from Adam. And I met him down at the Miami Police Department, and I said, let's go talk to this detective. And immediately he was telling the story to me right as we're talking to the detective, because time was of the essence at that point. She was missing for a little bit, and in missing persons cases, you want to find them as soon as you can. You want to get your information out there to the media and different places so you can hopefully have a successful result. Unfortunately, in this case.
Yeah, horrific result. Yeah. You know, find her dead and set on fire in a dumpster. I mean, that's even in Miami standards, that one sort of shook everybody a little bit.
It was terrible. It was terrible. And we didn't get a whole lot of cooperation from the police department that was handling it because, in my opinion, they just weren't well-trained in their homicide investigation, and they let a lot of things slip by. I was very upset about that, and we did our best to help the family, but there needed to be a stronger presence. And I know it wasn't the most important thing on their list, but there could have been a lot more.
Right. So how do you deal with that relationship? Okay. Because obviously a lot of times you're involved, whether it be a civil issue or a criminal issue, where you've got the police actively involved. How do you kind of try to blend that relationship? Because I would assume that many times the police officers are like, okay, you're a private investigator, go away, let the big boys do their job, you know. But as you point out, and again, not a criticism of the police, a lot of times they're not really doing all they can.
You know, the police are protected by open cases. So if it's an open homicide, they do not have to share anything with us. And as a result, that can work out good for them or bad for them. In this particular case, I thought it was bad for them because I think if they had worked with us and other people, private organizations, they could have solved this case. But unfortunately, you try your best to get their confidence because my feeling was I didn't want to go out and hurt the police. I love the police.
Right.
Police are great. They're what we need. Who wants to defund police? We need more police.
Right.
But you want to work together and find a common ground where you both can assist each other. And a lot of times private investigators, I know I've worked with Miami-Dade Homicide and different organizations, and they've been great in certain cases. And we've been able to help them, and they've been able to help us. So it all depends on the case, who's involved, and the trustworthiness. I've always had a lot of former detectives working for me, and that right. relationship with the police bridges the gap and helps things move forward. And hey, the bottom line, we want to help them get the case solved. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And we get the same thing. I mean, a lot of times I've got cases where the state attorney is involved in some component of it. I've got the civil end of it. They've got the criminal. And it really is. It's kind of hit or miss sometimes because we very actively reach out because a lot of times I have information. I've brought a guy like you on. We've obtained this information that I want to give them to help on the criminal end. So there's always an odd sometimes pushback, like, you know, they're doing, and I'm like, no, we're fighting for the same goal here, you know? And if I've got some stuff can help you and I get, you know, all I'm asking is you share with me what you can. And I understand there's restrictions on it, but so a lot of times that's been very successful, but sometimes, yeah, there's just big pushback. They don't want to deal with the civil lawyer and let them handle their stuff.
Well, the problem is if you get a lazy guy, that lazy detective that hasn't done his work and he doesn't have to share his file.
Well, that's true.
He can continue to be lazy and do nothing. And nothing happens. So there seems to need to be a watchdog sometimes watching out for these guys. And you hope that the internal departments handle their department well. But I've seen it where it's been a problem and in some departments.
All right. We've talked about getting you involved early in cases and how that's integral because now you sort of become part of that litigation team. To look at overall strategy, to look at, and, you know, there's been times you've shared with me, hey, this could be a potential defendant, you know, maybe something we weren't looking at, you know, somebody else owns this as well. But it runs the gamut all the way through. So, because you're even involved oftentimes once it goes to jury, okay, and in looking at potential juror issues and everything else. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, we have worked on jury cases before. Sometimes we background the jurors when they go to trial. So attorneys like to get the edge up on the competition or whoever they're going against. And one of the things they do is they hire us to do background checks on everybody in the jury pool to see if they're telling the truth or if there's something that they don't want that juror, if we find something in the background check, so they can get rid of that juror before they put them on their panel. There's also jury misconduct investigations. And so there's a number of ways and things we do backgrounding those people and developing information that certainly assists the attorneys in their job.
Well, it's a tremendous help. And again, you know, smaller firm like Mark and I, to be able to add an asset like that to the team, you know, again, big firms may have full-time jury consultants and all of that, but you've got to reach out to people and build your team, you know, and we do it through people like you, like private investigators. We have nurses, we have doctors that we work with and everything else hand in hand. So you're kind of winding down the career. What's been the most enjoyable part of being a private detective or private investigator?
Well, you know, my father wanted me to get in this insurance agency. And to me, that was so boring. it was terrible. The great thing about private investigation is every day you wake up, you get a new case. It's something different. It's exciting. And that's what I think drives me is, you know, something different every day. And I've enjoyed the career. I've worked with some great people, yourself, many attorneys, and private people that have just been I've had nothing but good experiences, very few bad experiences in my life. I guess the bad experiences would be the danger of the job going
right.
Going into neighborhoods that are you're dealing with just a lot of violent crime, and you're investigating violent crime, and you hear bullets flying. You're out there at night. You're photographing scenes, and you're seeing gangs of people that are looking to see what you're doing. So it makes your job. That's the uneasiness of the job. But other than that, it's been a very rewarding career. You know, I didn't finish college, and a lot of people think everybody should send their kid to college. Well, this is a career where you don't need to go to college. You can educate yourself. You can go through courses and get to where this to be a good private investigator by just following your path. And I was fortunate that I had people helping me, teaching me on the job, and it worked out well.
And I know it wasn't all that hard, because I do believe, I think you and your wife, Jamie, went undercover on a cruise to somewhere. I've heard some of these gigs that weren't too bad. So, you know, if you get to recruit your wife, Jamie, to go into an undercover role, that can't be that bad.
Well, she's a talker, so she can talk her way out of anything. And she was an asset to me, so it was fun having her around when I had her around. As long as she wasn't in my ear all day long. Sorry, Jamie, don't watch this show.
Unsolicited testimony from Dave Wasser. So listen, Dave, it has been a pleasure. It's been great. And I know we're not done working with you yet. You may be trying to get out of town, but you know, I got to build up things with Travis and get things going there, because you're a critical part to our practice. And I appreciate all you've done for the legal end of things. And as a friend, I mean, it just goes without saying. You've been a tremendous friend, and I look forward to many, many more years together.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm not dead yet. And I still want to work a little bit here and there as time goes on. And so I'll be around, and look forward to still working with you and Mark, great attorneys, and you guys are true professionals.
Well, I appreciate it. So look, we don't get a lawyer to take off the kill list, but here's a private investigator. In case you want to look into a lawyer that you want to get killed, he can give you the background on him and everything else. But appreciate everybody watching this one. We'll be back next week with some more interesting legal things. And Dave, really appreciate your time.
Thank you, man.